Well, I love the bus ministry, and your pastor knows that. And I, you going to videotape this thing? Is that what you said? Oh, I hope not, because I got to put my glasses on. You know all those people that you've laughed at through the years and called them geeks and weird? Here I am. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. If I did, we'd be done and have to go to the next service. But we, no, that's all right. I've seen you lead a song before. But, we were living in Portland, Maine for a while, and I was working for a Christian insurance company. This goes all the way back to 1974, I think. And we found a house to buy and went to a church that was an independent fundamental Baptist church. We had never been to one before. I got saved and called to preach in an American Baptist Convention church when I was a boy. And my wife went to a church pastored by a Bob Jones graduate. And neither one of us has ever been to an independent fundamental Baptist church. And so I had met this pastor, and I was pretty impressed with him. So we went to visit his church. He found out that I used to be a truck driver. When I was a young man, about 15, 16 years of age, I got a summertime job working at a trucking company, and I spent 8 years working there, eventually became a driver, and worked my way through college a little bit that way. And so this pastor found out that I had truck driving experience, so we hadn't been there maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and he came up to me on a Sunday morning after the service. He said, would you come with me? I said, yes, sir, I'll come with you. And he led me out to the backyard of this church, and there was an old 1952 Bluebird bus sitting there, snub-nosed. And you guys that drive, you'll appreciate this. We got in, and he started it up, and he started out onto the street and down the street to the highway. And as he's driving, he's talking over his shoulder to me. He said, I've got this bus, and he said, it's a great bus, holds a lot of people. But he said, it's got a funny shifting mechanism to it. He said, none of the men in my church can drive it. And he said, I thought maybe you being a truck driver, you might be able to drive it. You talk about somebody getting soaked up. I mean, we get out on the highway, and I was watching him shift, and I recognized right away what the shift pattern was. And so he pulled over the side of the road. He said, see if you can drive. He said, none of my men can get it to go through the gears. Maybe you can. So, you know, me being the big-headed young person that I was, I got behind the steering wheel, and I put it through all the gears and double-clutched it so it didn't grind, you know, and looked just as professional as I knew how to look. Drove it back to the church, parked it in the parking lot. He pats me on the back and says, yep, you're my new bus driver. God bless you, buddy. That was my introduction to the bus ministry. And that's, I don't know how many years ago that is, over 30 years, I guess. 32 years, something like that. And I became a combination bus captain, bus driver on a rural bus route. And it was an experience, to say the least. Sometimes you could go several miles before you came to the next stop. And I know some of you can identify with that. I can tell by the smiles on your face. And then, of course, when God led us to Hiles Anderson College, Brother Ross will remember this. Some of the other folks have been to college. In the early days, we used to go down the south hallway to start registration. And Brother Larry, you probably remember this. And we'd go down the south hallway, and the first thing you came to as a brand new student registering for school was all the ministries. And so I started down the steps out of the chapel, came to the first table, and this person jumps up and grabs my hand and says, hey, how you doing? You care about blind people, don't you? I said, well, of course I care about blind people. Good, sign right here. So I signed where they told me to. I didn't know what I was doing. I came to the next table, and this guy jumps up and says, you love the deaf, don't you? I said, well, of course I love the deaf. Well, sign right here. I signed. Nobody told me what I was signing for, and I'd never been here before, so I didn't know what I was doing. I came to the next table, and the guy in charge of the fisherman club. He jumps up, grabs my hand, and says, "You like to win souls, don't you?" I said, "Well, sure, I like to win souls." He said, "Well, sign right here." So I signed right here. By the time I got down the first hallway, the first corridor, I'd signed up for 5 different ministries. But I didn't know it. I went through the registration line. It literally took me 4 hours to go through the registration line. I was 2.5 hours late for my brand new job when I got through registration. Came all the way down to the last classroom, classroom 139, where you get your class cards, the back 4 computers and all. And I came out of the door. I was so relieved to be through registration. I mean, just relieved. And I was hustling, trying to get to work. And when I came out the door, there was a guy sitting in one of those wraparound desk chairs. And he was sitting sort of behind the door. And when I came out the door, he catapulted himself out of that desk chair and went airborne and landed right in front of me. And he goes, "Well, brother, you're going to be a bus worker, aren't you?" And I looked at him and said, "Sure, sure, whatever you want, I'll be it. Just leave me alone." And I mean, I was at the end of my wits at that point in time, whatever wits I had. And he said, "Just be in room such and such on Saturday morning at such and such time." And I said, "Yes, sir. Let me get out of here." And I went to work, and the next Saturday morning I showed up in that room at that time, and I became a bus worker in the city of Chicago. Now, those of you that have worked there, and there's several here, I recognize you've been in the bus ministry of Chicago. You know what it's like. It's a whole different ball game. And boy, did I find out that I did not know a whole lot about a city bus ministry when I got there. But I've racked my brain trying to figure out what I could teach, because everything I know, I taught your pastor, and I think he paid attention to some of it, so he's probably already taught you most of what I'm going to say. But if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I spent 25 years, I think it was, in the bus ministry at First Baptist Church. I was a bus driver for 10 months, and then I became a bus captain, and 8 months after that became a division leader. And when I took my bus division, it had 7 bus routes on the south side of Chicago. And 4 years ago, when I gave up my bus division to oversee our new inner city chapel ministry in Chicago for Brother Scott, I gave up my bus division. It had gone from 7 bus routes to 37 bus routes. Your pastor was part of one of the big expansion periods in our division, and he helped me with several different responsibilities and bus routes, helped me start bus routes, and of course so many of our memories are wrapped up in those days together in the bus ministry. He eventually became a division leader himself and did a great job as a division leader, and it's always been a delight for me to spend time with Brother Ross. We enjoyed spending time together even when he was a student. And we've hunted together and have not managed to shoot each other. Although he's tried a couple times. We have a lot of memories. Brother Ray Young and I think probably most of you have heard the name Ray Young. You know about him. We've often joked about if we could take all the stories that we have from the bus ministry and put them in a book, it'd be one of the funniest books ever written. And I know that if Brother Ross and I could collaborate on a book, that it would be a very interesting book. Are you there yet? I know Psalms is kind of hard to find. Psalm 62, look with me at verse 11. "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." There are a lot of false notions about how to build a bus route. And in just a few minutes here, I won't take the entire time for this, but I want to talk to you about what is it that builds a bus route. And several things. First of all, I want to tell you what is not guaranteed to build a bus route. These things are not guaranteed to build a bus route, although we are prone sometimes to lean on these things. First of all, and please understand me when I say this, promotion is not guaranteed to build your bus route. Now, I believe in promotion. In fact, I have a reputation in the history of the bus ministry of coming up with the wackiest promotions that anybody's ever had. I tried to talk Brother Howes years ago into letting us have a demolition derby. And each bus division in the bus ministry was going to rent a racetrack, and we're going to have a demolition derby, and each division would put their own car in there and invite all the people to come, and boy, we'd have a really big day. Remember that? how many of you come from a Catholic background? Okay, nobody here. You may not appreciate this. I tried to talk them into letting us have Holy Communion Sunday on the bus. He said, "How are you going to do that?" I said, "Well, it's real easy, you know." And I explained to him how I thought we could do it. And he actually thought about it for a couple minutes. He's sitting there rubbing his face. And finally, he looks at me and he says, "I don't think so." I believe in promotion. Our division was the one that started the haunted graveyard. Remember that? We've had all kinds of wild and wacky things. And Brother Young used to call our division, back when your pastor was part of the division, used to call it Moore's Band of Bandoleros. And we had a promotion one time in Cicero, which is part of our division just west of the city of Chicago suburb. We had a bridge. It was kind of a goofy kind of a bridge, and it's kind of weird. And so we had a promotion that just the flyer said, "We dare you to come to the bridge." I mean, people came out of the woodwork. Teenagers came from all over the place to come to something called the bridge. And, you know, I explained to the workers, it's all in how you say it when you stand at the door talking to them. You've got to get that tone in your voice, the bridge. You walk up to the teenager, "Have you been to the bridge yet?" And they look at you with wild eyes and say, "No, what's that?" "Well, you need to come on Sunday. We're going to the bridge." Thousands. You know, so I believe in promotion, but what I'm trying to tell you is promotion is not guaranteed to build your bus route. And, you know, promotion is primarily meant to excite the bus workers, not the riders. And, you know, this idea of what are we having tomorrow does not build a bus route. It's not guaranteed to build a bus route. And I think you ought to have promotion during the program. I don't think you ought to promote all the time. You promote all the time, you're going to end up hurting yourself in the long run. But I assume you have spring and fall campaigns, and when you do, you ought to promote. And I'm sure your pastor encouraged you to do that. Second thing that is not guaranteed to build a bus route is personality or charisma. I don't care how good your personality is. Some of the best bus workers I've ever seen, you can't hardly get them to say boo except when they get in front of bus kids. It's not that, you know, he's got a great personality, he'd be a great bus worker. No, that's not guaranteed to build a great bus route. You say, "Well, that's good because I don't have much personality." Fine. Just get busy and do what you're supposed to do. You see, you stay excited by character, not by personality. And the way you keep going after all the years that some of you spent in the bus ministry, the way you keep going is character. You know, we retire some of the folks at our church, and they've spent 40-plus years driving the same bus or working on the same bus route. That's pretty impressive. Let me tell you, the excitement wears off a long time before 40 years in the bus ministry. So personality is not it. Personnel is not it. And your pastor will understand this, and those that have been to Howells Anderson, but the reigning philosophy among bus workers, and especially bus captains, is the more bus workers I have, the bigger my bus route will be. And nothing could be further from the truth. I remember when I gave up my bus route on the north side of Chicago in order to become a division leader on the south side of Chicago, and I walked in on Saturday morning to meet my new division with Brother Young. And when I walked in there, there were 7 people sitting in this great big room that seats 150. And, you know, I'm supposed to be taking over this bus division of 7 bus routes. And there's 7 people sitting there. And shortly after Brother Young finished introducing me and I started conducting the meeting, one guy got up and grabbed the suitcase that was sitting in the aisle between the seats, and he started walking out. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I got to go home for the summer. I just want to see who the new vision leader was." Nobody told me how to get to my new bus route. I was the vision leader on the south side of Chicago. Never been to the south side in the 2 years we'd been there. Never been to the south side. Did not know where I was going. So I ended up finding a map and driving myself to the bus route. I had two pieces of notebook paper that the former division leader had given me, and he assured me that all the people who rode the bus, their names and addresses are on these two pieces of notebook paper. So I finally found my bus route, and I started knocking on doors, and I said, "Does so-and-so live here?" It's an all-Mexican bus route. Almost nobody spoke English, except me. I spoke English. And I just, I'd look at my list, knock on the door, and say, "Is so-and-so here?" And no vive aquí. No, they don't live here. And so I found a few people, but most of the people he said rode his bus, I couldn't find them anywhere, so I'd start basically from scratch. Now, I had one guy that would show up on Sunday to drive my bus, but nobody to visit with me. And by the end of that summer, God had blessed that bus route to the point it was averaging 90 a Sunday. Just me. Now, I'll tell you how that happened in just a moment, but I want you to understand the number of workers you have is not a guarantee of success. It may help you, and it may not help you. And a lot of it has to do with whether or not you're capable of leading other adults or teenagers and taking them to the next level. Because God will not trust you with people to work with you if you cannot move them to higher ground spiritually. All right? I said, first of all, what is not guaranteed is promotion, personality, personnel, and lastly, may I say this, population. I don't know how many times, Brother Jerry, I've had guys come to me and say, "I just got a bad area. I got a rough area. It's a tough area to build a bus route. I don't have the population." You know, my first bus route was a rural bus route. When I got it, I think there were 12 people coming on the bus. Within a short period of time, there was over 50 riding the bus. The bus was full of adults and teenagers and children. And I had to travel, I think my bus route was something like 17 miles, something like that I traveled in order to pick up all those people. You say, "Well, you know, I'm in a rough area. I don't have many people to draw from." It's not based on that at all. You say, "How can it not be based on that?" Because it's based on God and God's power. You look at your area and say, "Boy, it's a rough area. I wish I had so-and-so's area." And God says, "Get your eyes off that which is not yours and focus your attention on what I've given you. And make it a big thing." Now, before I forget it, I want to say this. It's not in my notes. I was thinking about it on the way over here. We have done a disservice to the bus ministry in most places because we treat the bus ministry as a children's ministry. The bus ministry is one of the greatest tools out there for reaching the entire family. Amen. It is absolutely one of the greatest tools out there for reaching the entire family. But you've got to think like that, not think it's a children's ministry. Some of you are younger. Some of you ladies, for instance, you're probably naturally intimidated by fathers in the home and their gruff exterior from time to time. And so it's very easy when you go to a home to just talk to the children and not focus on the adults. I believe with all my heart that we as bus workers have a responsibility to reach everybody in the home. You use the children. May I say this? Promotion is just a means to find out where the prospects are. You have a program, you start knocking on doors, you invite people to come, you use the promotion to get them to come, get the workers excited about bringing more visitors, all of that. When the program's over, that's when you as a bus worker really need to go into action. Because you found all these new riders and all these new locations where people live. Now, everybody in that home is a soul. And our purpose should be to get the gospel to everyone in that home. not just the children. Some of you are shaking your head. I think you believe that, but we only believe that which moves us to action. Now, what is guaranteed to build a bus route? Now, I'm going to use some four-letter words here today, so just be careful, okay? First of all, what is guaranteed to build a bus route? Work. Work. I used to sell life insurance, and God really blessed me in the life insurance business, and I sold a lot of life insurance, and I became the top producing agent for my Christian insurance company. And every month they would put out a monthly magazine, and on the front of that magazine they would put the agent of the month. And my second year in the business, I was the agent of the month, I think 9 months out of 12. So my name became a household word with this company. And when we got together for a national convention so they could introduce some new products and so forth, and everybody had to wear a name badge. My wife and I would be walking down the corridor in the hotel, and somebody would walk by us that was with the same company, and they'd see my name on my name badge, and they'd stop in their tracks, and they'd stop me, and they'd get this real spooky look on their face. So you're more, huh? Yeah, that's me. And they get up real close to me. They go, what's your secret? How do you sell all that insurance? I'd say, you really want to know? Yeah, can you tell me? I said, sure. That's a secret. I get my mouth right up to his ear. Say, you ready? I'd yell right in their ear as loud as I could, work. You know, everybody thinks there's some kind of a free lunch out there. What's guaranteed to build your bus route is work. I'm sorry to make it so simple as that, but that's what does it. Say, well, he's got a hyper personality, that's why his bus route does so well. No, I guarantee you, hyper personality or not, one of the reasons his bus route does so well is because he works so hard. Amen. What does that mean? Lots of walking or driving if it's a rural route. Lots of knocking and lots of talking. You know, I found out when I sold insurance and that's a phase of my life that I'm grateful for because it taught me how to meet people and talk to people. But I found this out, that the people who are successful salesmen are people who are always talking about their product. And everybody's a prospect. So, in order to build a good, solid bus route, and understand this, I'm going to run out of time before I can say everything that I'd like to say, but understand this, that a great bus route is not necessarily the largest bus route. A great bus route is a productive bus route. A great bus route is a bus route that puts people in the pews. Moms and dads and children and aunts and uncles and grandpas, that's a great bus route. And you know what? In a rural church setting like this, a great bus route may reach a plateau because the workers on that bus route are doing such a good job pushing people into the church, they eventually turn them into drive-in members of the church, and so they're constantly having to replace the people that they put in the church pew. So a great bus route may not ever reach the big number category, but it may always be productive. You see, that's one of the things I battled all the time when I was at college. I kept trying to teach my bus workers, you don't have to have the biggest bus route to be successful. You have to have the most productive bus route to be successful. All right? So lots of walking, lots of knocking, and lots of talking. Talk to everybody. Learn to lose yourself. Forget who you are. Don't stand on formality. Be an idiot once in a while. Be animated. When I used to knock on doors, Adults would come to the door, and I'd say, "Hi, my name's Daryl Moore. I'm from First Baptist Sunday School." And, you know, I don't want to scare them with the name church. I use Sunday School. Or I might say, "I'm from the Sunday School bus," because everybody knows the Sunday School bus. And what I was doing, I'd be talking to them, but while I was talking to them, I'd watch for children. And if I saw a child anywhere in that house, I would immediately ignore that adult. If I'm standing here talking to an adult, and, "Hey, how you doing? I'm from First Baptist Sunday School. I'm from the Sunday School bus, and I came by to see if you have anybody..." And, you know, the parents that just stand there watching you love their kids. And you'd be amazed how quick they'll be to let them ride your bus. Just ignore them. Leave them stand there. Go have fun with the kids. Find out where their toys are and go play with the toys. And so you think I'm kidding. But you see, the best way to get to a parent is through his children. And I, so much I'd like to say here, but you need to work. Everybody is a prospect. I don't care where you go. I had to go have an MRI the other day. They said they're going to have an MRI of my brain, and I told my doctor, I said, "That shouldn't take very long." And so I went to this place called the Open MRI, and this doctor, I guess he's in his late 30s, early 40s, slight of build, but a very, very courteous, professional man. And he took me in and explained to me what he was going to do. He's very careful to make sure that I understood everything. And then he had me sit down on the edge of this table that I was supposed to lie down on. I took my shoes off. And as he's doing some preparation, he looked at me and he said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm a missions pastor at First Baptist Church of Hammond." "Oh, really?" And he said, "Would you lie down here and put your head in this thing?" And, you know, all this stuff. And he looked at me and he said, "I went to a Baptist church a couple weeks ago." And he said, the building was really overcrowded and I didn't feel very comfortable there. Well, I thought, God, this guy's looking for a church. So I started talking to him. And by the time we were through, he had me go sit in the lobby and he brought my quote pictures to me. You ever look at a picture of your skull and your brain? My wife and my daughter's looking at them the other night and they decided that I have a butterfly up there. It's only fair to say both my daughters have been committed to insane asylums. But you know, he came out to give me those pictures. And I handed him one of my Sunday school, I teach an adult Sunday school class, I handed him one of my brochures and one of my business cards. And I said, "You know, I'd like to invite you to come visit my adult Sunday school class, be my special guest. My wife and I would love to have you and your wife." And he knelt down beside the chair I was sitting in and he looked up at me with the most serious voice. And he said, "You know, Mr. Moore," he said, "I've been a Christian for many years." He said, "I've been through a divorce and now I'm remarrying." He said, "I'm really trying to find the right place." I said, "You just found it. You just found it." And you have no idea who's out there searching. You know, we go to those doctor's offices and we think those doctors are so squared away. And many of them are. Here's a young doctor who's trying to find a spiritual resting place, a spiritual shelter in the time of storm. And they're all over the place. Those parents who are behind those doors and they may yell and scream and they may be belligerent and may be angry half the time and they're almost frightening to some of us. Those people have hurts and heartaches and they're just looking for somebody that's got enough brass to get past all that facade and give them the truth. So, you know, it takes a lot of work, a lot of walking and talking. and knocking on the doors, of course. Not only that, but what's guaranteed to build a bus route? Prayer. I have an entire lesson that I teach on this. You build a bus route on your knees. You build a bus route on your knees. I believe that you pray for your people. And I teach my bus workers, I did for years, I taught them, go to every street on your bus route and get on your knees and pray for God to give you the people on that street. Now maybe you have a couple of highways here, a couple of back roads, I don't know. But you go to some place on that highway or that road and you get on your knees and then don't worry about who's watching you. And you say, God, give me these souls. Give me these souls. I was teaching on this one Saturday morning to some new bus workers, and I had to go from that meeting to a meeting at the church with Brother Hiles and then on to my bus route. And so I got to my bus route a little bit later in the day because of the length of the meeting with Brother Hiles. And as I pulled my car in, I noticed some movement out of the corner of my eye, and I looked over in the direction of the movement, and here came two lady bus workers running down the street. They came to the corner not far from where I was parking, and they knelt down on the sidewalk in broad daylight with probably 100 people on all four corners of that intersection. And they knelt down there and they claimed that block for Jesus. The next day they had an incredible increase in the number of people that came from their section because they literally went block by block by block asking God for the souls. I believe that you ought to pray in front of every home. I think sometime during the week you as a bus worker ought to take your vehicle and you ought to drive to every home where you think that you have an opportunity to reach people or people that ride your bus live. And you pray in front of those homes. Set up a schedule. You say, I can't do every house every week, then set up a schedule where you do it once a month. You go to every house once a month and you sit there and you pray in front of those houses. I've spent many hours late in the evening on a Saturday night kneeling on the steps of the homes of my people, begging God to give them to me. I used to do something all the time, and probably your pastor's seen me do this, but when we would get our bus checked out on Sunday morning and head towards the bus route, I would just tell my workers, leave me alone, be as quiet as you can. I go to the back of the bus and get on my knees at every single seat. And I would pray, God, please fill this seat today. Dear God, whoever sits in this seat, please make sure that they get saved before they go home. And I go to every single seat on that bus, 66 seats, 72 seats, 78 seats, whatever it was, on my knees from the back to the front praying for God to fill those seats. It takes work to build a bus route. A lot of work. And praying is work. You pray by name. Well, I remember when I was a college student, married with a family, working a job, trying to run a bus division and a bus route. And I was grasping for time to pray. And I had an old 1978 Dodge Aspen with a big old fat drive shaft hump there in the front. And I'd take my arch board that had all my cards on it for my bus route, and I'd put it right down there on that drive shaft hump. And as I would drive to work, I'd flip through my cards and pray for my people every day. Got to the point where my bus route was so big, I had to divide it into groups of seven. And every day, I'd pray for a different segment of my bus route. But I prayed every day for my bus route. I prayed every day for my people by name. And when you do that, and people say, well, if I love people, I pray for them. You don't get it. Prayer is a matter of character. When you pray for people, you love them. You pray for them, you love them. You don't say, well, as soon as I love my people, I'm going to pray for them. Pray for them anyway, and I guarantee you before long, you'll be loving the fire out of them. See? Now, pray for power. I read to you in Psalm 62:11 that power belongeth to God. But, you know, God lets us have His power. God puts His power on us. God empowers us to do His work. And so, we need to pray for power. And then, of course, may I say this? Pray for passion. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to reach the lost. Pray for passion. My wife and I were talking to, I think we were talking to you before the service, and we were talking about this business of getting old is not for the faint of heart. You know, things start going wrong when you get old. You get up over the half century mark, things start letting go and grabbing on and everything else you're not supposed to do. You know, one thing I don't want to ever happen to me, I don't want to lose my passion. I don't want to lose my passion for God. I don't want to lose my passion for His work. I don't want to lose my passion for people. But if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in living this life in this world. And we got to have this, we got to have that, and then we got to work extra hours to have this and have that. Before you know it, we've lost our passion for God. Now what do? Pray for passion. Don't just pray for power. Pray for God to keep the fire burning in your soul. When that fire starts to flicker just a little bit, then run to this altar. Amen. You run to the altar. I'll say it again. I'm as disappointed as I can be in our churches, the people in our churches who will not use an altar. Bend that knee and submit your will and surrender your desires and beg God to stir a passion in you. I said, first of all, that what is guaranteed to build a bus route is work and prayer and lastly, love. Love. You know, some of you, I can tell by looking at you, you're old enough to remember Art Linkletter. People are funny. And people certainly are funny. If you don't think that's true, just go to a mall sometimes. Now, I hate malls. I hate shopping of any kind, unless it's at Gander Mountain or something like that. But I'll take my wife and my daughters to the mall, and I always leave my wallet and my credit cards home. I have bad knees from a roofing accident years ago, so I don't walk those concrete mall floors for very long. I usually find a place to sit. I'll sit there while they're in spending my money. I'll just watch people. And there's no doubt about it. People are funny. And you might as well get used to it. Some of you are funny. I've noticed it right away. Especially the guy over here on this side. But, you know, we need to learn to love people in general. Just love people. They'll drive you nuts. I tell the students, the men at the college who plan to pastor, I tell them straight up, I said, you know, without people, you have no ministry. But people will drive you to drink. They will. Now, I haven't started that yet, but truth is, you just have to decide whether you love people or not. Now, there are people, and you know, don't look at me pious now, but there are people that you don't like. You just don't enjoy them. They rub you the wrong way. See, we got this group over here and this group over here. And never the twain shall meet. But you know, we do. There are people that we just don't like. They rub us the wrong way. That's fine. Nobody asks you to eat a meal with them. Nobody asks you to take them out to dinner once a week. But God says, I want you to love people. I want you to have a genuine love for people. And you know, don't just love people in general, but love your people. And let your love show. You know, one of the most amazing things to me is the concept that love gives. Love gives. It doesn't take. And so, the bus ministry is a ministry of love. It is a ministry of giving. Giving sometimes until it hurts. And I'm sure most of you, those of you that have gray hair or little hair, you figured out not a short time ago, but quite some time ago, that there's a lot of people who will never love you back the way you love them. So if you're loving in order to be loved back, you're missing it. If you're loving because you want to love, you've got it. Because people are going to disappoint you and break your heart. You folks that have been bus workers for any length of time, you could stand up here and tell testimony of the people that broke your heart. They're no longer in church. They don't ride the bus. They've ruined their lives. But you just keep going because you love God and you love people. And If I could say this to you, I've got just 60 seconds here. When Jesus walked this earth, you look at the book of Mark, you find there that 32 times in 16 chapters of the book of Mark, it says that Jesus went straightway, or he went immediately. Now, those two words, straightway and immediately, just happen to be the same Greek word, or at least the same Greek root word. And those 32 times in 16 passages of Scripture that expression is used, it is trying to say that Jesus did everything that he did with a sense of urgency. Now, don't miss what I'm saying here. What we do is urgent. We don't have much time left. But I also want you to understand this. When Jesus came to the Father in John 17, he said, "I have finished the work thou gavest me to do." Now, somehow, even though he went straightway and he went immediately, just sit down sometime and read the book of Mark from cover to cover, just from start to finish in one sitting. 32 times, straightway and immediately, but throughout that book, he touched this life and that life, he healed this person, he changed that person. There has to be a sense of urgency, but there always must be that place in our hearts for the individual. Dr. Jack Howes used to say this about young people. He said, no young person would ever go bad if he knew that there was one individual who cared personally about him. The bus ministry is numbers, but it's numbers of individuals one at a time. Look, do you know this? That God writes names in the book of life one at a time. One at a time. And did you know when people are cast into hell, they'd be cast into hell one at a time? Our ministry is a great ministry, but it's a ministry to individuals whose lives need to be transformed by the power of God. One at a time. One at a time. One at a time. Thank you.
Sorry, for just a second. Bus workers, let me ask you this, and I know we've got to close. There's people waiting in the hallway, and we're going to have service in just a minute. But let's not lose what we've had sown in our heart. And let's dedicate ourselves anew just in this closing prayer to this great work that God's given us to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in the bus ministry. Heavenly Father, we do, Lord, want to fresh and anew dedicate ourselves to the work of the bus ministry here. And thank you for these folks, Lord. I pray, dear God, we would take these simple yet life-changing concepts and begin even now to incorporate them into our lives, Lord, so that we could be better used to help and to reach others. In Jesus' name, amen.